Yeah.
The word aggregate, this is a very general question. The word aggregate, is that a direct translation from the Tibetan word?
Mm-hmm. Pumpo. Something that's piled together.
Pumpo.
Something that's heaped together. What is that one? Is we have just a coarse understanding, because what we say as body, we say body, that is our notion. We have heaped together. Body consists of limbs,
right.
Like that. So like that heap, it's heaped together.
Mm.
And likewise, we think feeling is also not a heap. It's not a formation.
Mm.
It's not a formation like that. And perception is also in that way. Just because we have a false idea, it's just a false heap that's put together. But if you were to really dig into that one, we will see that there is no reality into that one. So that's why this is called aggregate. This is actually one false form. When you actually look from outside, it looks like a form. It looks like something, like an image. But if you further go into that one, you cannot see it.
Mm-hmm.
So then these are the five aggregates that we actually classify into. It's like, you know, when you go to places like in Utah, up in the mountain, you see like big alphabets written, yeah, on the walls. They have
mm-hmm.
like each county or each place have big alphabet for the, like, you know, they have U, T, or some. Last time I was in Missoula, there was M, like that on the. So from here, I see an M.
Mm.
But if I go close there, then I cannot see that M because it has become much closer. I only see a part of the M. It's just a brick or a rock, like that.
Mm-hmm.
So this is our notion, that I look into this form, I think this is my body, my form, but there are so many things that are actually within that I term as form, but I have a very vague idea what form actually means.
Mm-hmm.
If I really go into this discussion philosophically or logically, there is no form. It's a different dimension. It's a different dimension which I think is a form, or which we think is a form right now. So like that. Feelings. Said, you know, happiness, unhappiness, comfort, feeling of our body, comfort, discomfort, neutral, indifferent. That is also still a coarse notion of ours, looking onto that, thinking that is feeling. You can still go further. Mental perception. Nice, not nice. And so forth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, judgment. Good, bad. High, low. Near, far, on mental perception like that. Mental construction, then we say anger, desire, jealousy, pride, envy, resentment, regret, hatred, all of these things. You know, shame, you know, shame, we say. Guilt. All of this mental construction, these are just from the outside. We think this is our form. When we look inside, it's just like standing by one pebble. You cannot see that anymore. Consciousness, now we say, this is my I consciousness, actually. My ear consciousness, my nose, my tongue consciousness, my body consciousness, my mind consciousness. So this is how we actually come to understand aggregate.
This may be kind of cart before the horse, like maybe a little too early, but you know, if you talk about the difference between the relative and the absolute, like in the relative, in the day-to-day, in the moment, if you say to me, you know, go get the drum, I've created drumness out of that so we can both refer to it, you know, or go to the left versus go to the right or up or down. And those things stay in my memory, and they become more thing-like almost in my mind than they are in this. And I'm wondering, in the struggle to really have some ability to relate to emptiness, how is it that I work with the aspect of my mind that has made that into a drum versus other drums, so that I can live in this world, you know? Like, I feel like what I do is I come here or I meditate or I sit or, and I separate, and then I can have some relationship to emptiness. But then when I'm in the world, I don't have that relationship to emptiness. In fact, I'm always making things into things. And I'm just wondering, you know, can you speak to that at all?
This will come later.
It will come later, okay.
This is how we actually separate. As we bring forth spirituality in our path, it's because our mind is always smart, I told you, we bring confusion, we bring judgment, we bring our habit. And then that's why we always we separate things. And then here, in the further teachings, it will actually address. That is what is actually going to bring forth enlightenment. Earlier it said, without effort and exertion. That will actually, and without realizing this, other way of how we actually look for enlightenment, hope for enlightenment, exert for enlightenment is clueless. So, it will answer your question, and then after we do that, then I will also comment on your question.
The second kind of emptiness that you're referring to, besides the particular emptiness, the aggregation of elements.
Yeah. That emptiness is going to come true right now. It's too early. Yeah. Because that's the natural emptiness.
Yeah.
See? The first emptiness is very much like the first word we came into emptiness, looking into the sky and are absent of. Then we think, okay, drum, empty of the drum. You might think, okay, drum, empty of the drum. Or the drum has to disappear. It will maybe, we think like that. You know, something has to be away from this one. That's why then only I can see the emptiness of the drum. See? That is called the natural emptiness, which will be defined later. Earlier we were looking into space or sky, seeing emptiness. That is what we think of emptiness. Drum. We're looking into drum. And the emptiness of drum is lacking emptiness. Lacking the emptiness of drum is what we're looking into. Just like when you look in the sky, the cup is empty. The sky is empty of the cup. vacant of the cup, or meaning absent of something. Then likewise, the second emptiness is defining drum empty of what? Then we think lacking something, that's what we think. No, this itself will prove emptiness later.
Okay, well, so after the conqueror entered profound illumination, which is the paragraph before, after that, technically, he's really not talking anymore, is he?
No, he's not talking anymore. And then among that gathering is Avalokiteshvara, who is again the equal realization to Buddha himself. That's why that character, that quality of the one who is actually standing out from that retinue is coming out. And then he is actually entering into that same samadhi, as the same meditative absorption as the transcendent conqueror is entering.
So could you say a few words about why was then Shariputra being the one that was picked versus Ananda?
That will come.
Oh, that's
going to come back.
So eager.
Yeah. So, yeah. This is the profound way of how the heart essence Prajna Paramita is actually commented. So this way you will understand. Otherwise, Prajna Paramita, if you were to understand in a literal way, then you have to understand the way, the logic, how the logic goes in the four extremes. And then, you know, we say, is it arising from a cause? You know, is the cause and the result same? Is the cause different from the result? Or both, or neither? Then that you can actually use to other in other formats too. So you can ask, okay, what is God? Is God same with creation or different from creation? Is his creation separate from him? One, is it same or different? Then you can only answer one. You can say, maybe you can say yes, it's same or not same. You can say either, no, neither, meaning both, and neither. Like that. So then the emptiness will be demonstrated in that way. But that takes long time to understand. But here, as we go along, we will understand now.
Is it possible to be all of the above?
Cannot be all of the above. Because it has to be either, or cannot be, because that's the possibility.
Well,
yeah.
When you said it says, while engaging in the profound transcendent wisdom clearly saw the five aggregates. In my mind, it's like, instead of it being separate, like side by side, it's like it's always together, sort of like that. So he's here, but they're still crossing like that. Do you see that? So they're one and the same then at that point. They're always together, but there's that little spot right there where he can see both.
So then in that case, then there's further question, because to non-Buddhist, you ask this question: how do they originate? If it's caused, so God created the world. Okay, is God and creation same or not same? That's the question. Are they same? Then you have to say there's one answer to that. And not same, there's answer to that one. Then the third answer could be they are both. And then the fourth answer would be neither of that one. Then you can actually correct the philosophical view in that way. Now when you come to more Buddhist approach of how you relate to this one, then the question is it one or multiple? You have to answer this question. Is it multiple? Is it one or two? Is it one or more? Then you can get your answer.
And is there a Buddhist answer to that question?
Yeah. Mm-hmm, yes.
And is it one?
No, it's not one. No.
It's multiple?
It's not multiple.
Oh, I thought
no.
You were saying it's one of those two.
Because if it's one, then you can again get thrashed. If you say multiple, you get thrashed with the philosophical result. Then because it is neither of that. And that's why it is called that effortless, because you are never separate from it. If you were separate, then you would say two. Oh, I was not that. I went astray. Oh, now I realize, oh, I have been together, I have come together. You become one, see?
Yeah.
You become one. But this nature is not one or two. There's no coming, there's no meeting, there's no point that you actually parted. That's why there will never be a point that you actually come together. So this is how you have to understand. Okay?
Yes.
Yeah. That one more into your practice when you have realization, like Philip's mentioning. That kind of, you have to, again, this could be just dualism sneaking in that way, dualism. And that, if you have that, you are still having that objective fixation. See, there is a watcher and an experience. There's a watcher and an experience. Even if there's not an object, there's an experiencer and an experience.
What if it's like that? Like you could do a circle like that? I don't know if it's watching, but if you're in that spot, you're not really.
Yeah, but
you're not
but
looking
no.
that way. You're not looking that way. But for example, when you when I meditate, right? When I'm in that spot, and let's say, I look back. I can't define it. I don't know what it is, in terms of giving it a name or trying to describe it in some way. But it's there, and the reason I know it's there because I came back over here and I look back. I don't try to, you know, define it in any way, but I know it's there because this is over here. But I also know that when you're over here, I'm not over here because I'm not even aware that that's even over there. And then, so there has to be, in my mind, some spot that you land that's neither there nor here, and yet, they're intersecting like that. Otherwise, you'd be permanently over here, maybe, which is samsara, or crazy and never coming back.
Yeah, that one is, as you go into that oneness, that inseparability, when dualism drops, then you can see in that way.
Mm-hmm.
When dualism drops,
okay.
That one. What we had been holding so far, the subject, object, and action, and so forth, they they can completely drop, and that is the liberation that comes from that freedom of subject object. Liberation will never come from dualism, and that is what is called the perfect liberation, because it does not have subject object connection. All other parts get caught in the dualism because they don't have that emptiness of subject object and action. So, and that's the realization you can actually see. At that point, that experience is non-objective. That experience is not dependent on an object. That experience is not dependent on an experiencer. That experience is not an object. That experience is not conceptual. So yeah, in that way, yes. If you're speaking from that dimension, then yes, there's this inseparability of okay, so we'll take a break now and then we'll get together. So 2:30, is it good for you? Yeah, 2:30, and then we'll finish. I think in 2 hours we'll finish then. Okay, dedication on page 34. Sonam deye tamje sekvane tonne nebe ranam pamje shen kela na che balon toba ye sidbe tole towa towa ra sho. By this accumulation of virtue, may I attain all seeing omniscience, and may all faults be annihilated, the whirling turbulent waves of birth, aging, sickness, and death. From this ocean of samsara, may I liberate beings. Okay.